Before we dive into this episode, I have an exciting offer for you. You know that my passion is simplifying formulation for all hairstylists. Right now, my best-selling masterclass, Hair Color Formulation Simplified, is on sale for only $47. To get yours now, simply go to my website, www.expertcolorsolutions.com/simple. Hello, hey, and welcome to Ask the Color Expert. My name is Elaine Travis. I am a career hair colorist, independent educator, and author of the book, A Colorful Journey. I'm here every week sharing tips, tricks, and stories that are all things hair color. Thanks for joining me, and let's get started. The Ask the Color Expert podcast is proudly sponsored by Kin North America. Kin is available directly to salons with no middleman, and they pass that savings on to you. They carry color, retail, and texture products, and they're all developed and manufactured in their factory in Spain. After more than 90 years in business, Kin is still owned by the founding family. They are passionate about being the very best they can be. For more information on Kin, contact Gary at kinnorthamerica.com. If you follow me, you know that I do not work for any manufacturer, but I do love to share things that I love using in my own salon in Pennsylvania. We are proud users of the Kin color. We get excellent gray coverage and excellent support. Hello, and welcome back to the Ask the Color Expert podcast. Today's special guest is Mike Varela. He is a haircutting educator. His company is called The Mastery of Haircutting, and it is in the gorgeous area of La Jolla, California. He is a former Vidal Sassoon educator, and I'm so excited to have him here today to discuss my journey and other journeys through Vidal Sassoon and what an amazing impact Vidal has had on our industry. And Mike is carrying the torch now and keeping it going. So I'm really excited that he's here. Welcome, Mike, to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. So I was blessed to go to Vidal Sassoon in the early 90s. My daughter was a few months old, and I was reading one of my hair Bibles. It was either American or Modern Salon. And sure. It seemed to me that everyone who was really, really successful in hairdressing, their founding story mentioned Vidal Sassoon Academy, Vidal Sassoon, you know, the structure of the training. And I was like, I looked at my husband, I said, my only regret in life so far is not going to Vidal Sassoon. He goes, what do you mean in life? I think I was like 26 or something. He's like, you still have time. I said, yeah, but I have a baby now. I can't just pick up and leave. He's like, yes, you can. So he took off work. He, you know, stayed home with this brand new baby that he, you know, most men, anybody, but most men don't know what the heck to do with a brand new baby. And I so appreciate that time. And although I was already successful and I was in my own salon and I was successful and I was busy, I just kept cutting by feel. I just kept picking up hair and cutting it, picking up and cutting it. And then I'd have a heavy weight line and I'd chip into it, but I really didn't have any structure or system. And going to Vidal Sassoon and having that training was life-changing. Well, it changed my schedule a lot because when I came home, it took me a lot longer in the beginning to be so structured. But that discipline has stayed with me throughout an almost 40-year career. So I can only imagine what it has done for your career.
You know, it's funny. When I decided to get into, I was 29, almost 30 when I decided to get into hair. And I had a lot of friends that were hairdressers. I was in the music world up in LA, and all my friends that were musicians were all stylists, you know, your tattooed Beverly Hills hairdresser, you know, and I knew I just wanted to cut hair. I just liked the idea of cutting hair. You know, as a touring artist, you know, you want to have cool hair, you know, and we all just kind of, we lived in the salon, you know, a lot of the times just kind of hanging out and being around the whole industry. So I just said, you know, I'm going to give it a go, but I just want to cut hair. You know, that's what I want to do. And they're the ones that said, well, if you want to cut hair, you got to go to Vidal Sassoon. That's where, you know, if one day you can get your foot in there, even to work there or whatever, that's where you want to go. That's like the best of the best. And I myself had never heard of Vidal Sassoon. You know, I thought they were jeans from the 80s. You know, I confused.
Yeah,
you know, and So I didn't really know what it was, you know, and I just kind of, once I looked into it, I started to realize, you know, that it was considered the Harvard, the Juilliard of hair. You know, it was the most prestigious haircut school in the world. And kind of just decided that was the route I wanted to take my career. You know, and I've been very blessed to have gotten the chance to teach there, work in the salons, and eventually work up to teaching at the academy. But you know, it's funny, I was having a conversation the other day where you know, nowadays a lot of people don't really realize why Vidal and the Vidal Sassoon company had the impact or has the impact that it's had in the industry. A lot of people equate the name Vidal Sassoon because a lot of people know the name, but they don't know why they know it. And even stylists, you know, a lot of times don't even know. They think it was, oh, certain haircuts that they did, or you know, or a lot of them equate it to things like Paul Mitchell, Toni and Guy, Bumble and Bumble. Those are all product lines, right? Vidal Sassoon didn't start as a product line, and it never really was about a product line. They were a system, a philosophy of teaching. And you know, what I teach a lot of the young stylists nowadays is we have to understand what the difference is, what it was like, for instance, mid-60s and before. It was all styling, you know. That's where the term hairdresser came from. Beehives, bouffants, women would go to the salon once a week, get the hair set in rollers, and that would last a whole week. But haircutting was almost non-existent for women back then. Everything was cut one length, and depending on the one length, that determined the up you got. All of a sudden, from the mid-60s after, you started to see haircutting, you know, bobs, pixies, layers, all this right away. You came out it. So he technically was the one that brought the science of cutting into the fabric that we work on, which is hair, and everything just kind of broke off from there, you know. And that's the one thing that we, you know, the philosophy that I've carried now through to my company, the Kingly Hair Group, with our, like you mentioned, the Master of Cutting system, is, you know, we sell knowledge. You know, that's the only thing we sell. We sell knowledge. We, you know, because you know, you can use whatever you want. It's the understanding of the science and the craft that we do that we want to carry on. And like you said, it's those of us that had the opportunity to work there at some point, have broken off and started our own businesses and education companies and all that. You kind of have that foundation, you know, that gives you the you know, just the understanding, if anything, of how to create form. You know, at the end of the day, what we do in haircutting, it is a form of structure. It is a form of architecture. But so many people that come and train with us don't realize cutting hair is an exact science. It's not a guessing game. You know, it's not a wing it until it looks good, or kind of, you know, step by step learn haircut. It's a beautiful, exact science that, unfortunately, and a lot more these days, it's not something that's really taught out there, you know. And so that's been my whole philosophy since I broke off from Sassoon in 2013. It's like I want to just share this revelation that I got from the beginning to the rest of the industry, and try to make my little mark in helping bring it back to what it really was, you know, to its heyday of the mastery of what, that's why we call it the mastery of haircutting, to what it was before. You know, once you have that, then man, sky's the limit.
It's so true. I remember the first day walking in, and you know, I'm in my early 20s. I'm away from home. I brought my whole staff. We all just wanted to change everything. And we walked in, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, I've been doing hair for 7 years. I know how to cut hair. Like, what are they going to teach me? And you're so cocky in the beginning. And I sat down, and the first lesson, when they were drawing on the head sheets on the board, and they were talking about the shape of the head and that, you know, not everyone's head is shaped the same, but yet we cut hair the same on every single person's head. The thing that really put me over the edge was not being able to use a round brush, not being, because it was the cheap. You know, I was an 80s hairdresser. So we would cut the hair, we would blow it to the high heavens with a, you know, a cheap blow dryer with no nozzle, have it all frizzy and flyaways, and then we would curl it to try to make it look good. It's back, Mike. Have you
Yeah,
seen?
we're right back into
It's right
the
back.
hairdresser era now. You know what I mean? It's really not about hair, like proper haircuts anymore. You know, I'm gonna be very honest with you. Social media is I like to call it our necessary evil right now, right?
Oh, you're not kidding. I hate it.
Yeah, it's what we need for marketing promotion. I'll be honest with you, in the early days, like I said, I left Sassoon in 2013, and that was the infancy of Instagram in those days. Just a handful of us were able to use that platform in a new way, and that's what allowed us to build our businesses, you know. But it's changed a lot now. You know, I used to be considered an influencer back in those days. Influencers now have 500,000 followers, you know. And I will say that as great as social media has been for marketing and promotion, it's been devastating to the education world out there, because it's made celebrities out of a lot of people that just teach quick hacks. You know, I see a lot of stuff happening now on social media that makes me go, what happened? You know, like right now, dry hair cutting is the big thing, just slicing into dry hairs. But everything is followed by that curling iron, as you said, right? And not nothing against the curling. I love the look. I love that messy, beachy thing. For me, as a hair cutting educator, it's the approach to create that. Because in the salon, we have so many clients that come in, bring in this picture and go, I want that haircut. It's like, I can curl your hair right now, make it look just like that. It has nothing.
Exactly. And that kind of cut a piece.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, it's changed a lot. But again, you know, I think we are back in the pre-Sassoon days where it was about styling. You know, right now it is almost all about styling. I think just like a lot of the trends, things are bubbles. And, you know, I can't see this industry going much, much longer without going back to that structure, that understanding, that masterful side of things. You know, I see so many people that will post things about taking classes, and they say, you know, I'm excited because, you know, they'll post that they're going to take a class with me or something. And they'll say, you know, I'm reminded that I need to go back to, you know, back to basics. I got to go back to master the foundation. And anytime I hear somebody say that, like, but going back to basics, my question is always is, well, how are you cutting now though? You know, because basics is mastery. You know what I mean? If you abandon the basics, it's like, okay, well, how are you achieving anything at this point? Because true masters never abandon the basics. They utilize them for intricacy after that, you know? And truly, when a lot of people say that, they're really saying, I need to go back to being technical. I need to go back to being under, you know, just being methodical about this, not just like you said, grabbing hair or just doing whatever the case may be, right? Because ultimately what we do, again, not just an exact science, but it has to be recreatable. Isn't this one of the things that we hear most of the time in the salon, stylists say, when we get a new client in the salon, they say, my hairdresser, it's hit and miss. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Or they did a great haircut one time, they could never do it again. And these are stylists that are just winging it every single time, you know? And the client comes back and says, I love what you did. I want you to do the exact same thing. They go, there's a frog in the throat, because they don't realize how they did it, you know, because they pulled it off. And, you know, my goal with our education is to be able to understand what you just did. It's mappable. It's diagrammable. It's recreatable. You can create a blueprint out of any haircut you do, regardless of the look. You know, I think a lot of times when they hear the term like precision or being technical, or even the name Vidal Sassoon, they think of just really strong structured haircuts. That has nothing to do with it. That's an aesthetic, right? Precision haircutting isn't a look. Precision haircutting is a method. That method can give you a soft, structured, shattered look. It give you a clean, sleek look, right? But it's just a method of creating or achieving the look that you want to achieve. It's not a look. I had a student ask me one of the best questions one time in a class. And he asked me, what do you do when you want to do technical work, but your salon owner wants you to do commercial work, you know, all the lived in soft layers? And I said, great question, but it doesn't make sense, because you're asking about two completely different things. Commercial is a look. It's an aesthetic. It's not a way to cut hair. Technical is a way to cut hair. So you can create commercial things being technical, or as we see a lot on social media, very untechnical, right? Because at the end of the day, it is about the styling to create those looks. So you're the one that can decide what the look is, right? You want to create commercial, you can do it, but you're the one that's going to decide, do I want to be technical about it, or do I just want to wing it and just chop into it and pull it off every time? That's our whole goal with my company and our education, is to understand that, look, there is a masterful understanding behind cutting hair. It doesn't matter the look, the aesthetic. Again, some people are really into the whole lived-in thing. Others are more to sleek, structured things. But being technical, you know, understanding the precision side of haircut is what gives you the ability to all that. And that's one of the things that we love to share, because how many times do stylists get behind the chair with a new client, or somebody comes in and what they want to change, shows them a picture of something they've never done, and That's it. They freeze because I don't know how to do that. That's the beauty of understanding the science of haircutting, is that it takes all that away, right? I also had people come in a couple of times and go, "I just want to learn the latest trends." I'm like, "Well, pick up a magazine. You'll see what the latest trends are. That's not going to teach you how to cut hair."
How to cut it, right?
Yeah, and I explained it to them. It's kind of like, this is a form of architecture. So let's say building architecture in the next decade went back to 17th, 16th century Victorian stuff. Every architect working today could do that, could transition to that. They don't have to go learn a new form of architecture because they understand architecture, right? It's when you have that foundation and understanding, it's what allows you. It doesn't matter what trend ever comes in. You know the techniques that are created or are mixed into the haircut to create that look, right? So it literally becomes this foundation of knowledge behind you that literally enables you to create anything and everything you want.
For me, it took away the imposter syndrome. I had started cutting hair. I did my first haircut when I was in the fifth grade to my best friend with household scissors, and it wasn't bad. Were like really surprised and, just cutting and cutting and cutting until I thought it looked okay. No system, no structure, nothing. Then I went to beauty school and I learned how to follow my guide and do the whole thing. And then I got out of school and I got back into the habit of just doing it by feel and seeing, this feels a little heavy, chip into that a little bit. And the whole time I was doing it, I felt like the girl that did backyard haircuts in high school for, for beer money. It was like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't really have a plan on this head. And I'm really stressing and guessing the whole time to get through it, hoping it turns out okay. And there would be like holes in certain areas where I overdirected or I didn't have my, elevation correct. One of the biggest things that I learned at Vidal Sassoon, I was blessed to have Stephen Moody be my teacher. And it was just like a luck of the draw. He happened to be there at the time. And he walked over when I was cutting and my body position was in my normal body position. I was hunched over, my elbows were loose. I was doing this and bending all over and he stood me up straight and he held my elbow and said, "You want to make it a long time in this industry and you have to pay attention to your posture. The chair moves, the client can go up and down. Don't keep bending to them, bring them to you." I remember that. It was my daughter's 30 now. I went when she was born. Wow. I remember like it was yesterday and the same thing that you said about foundations and trends, I have your same frustration as a color educator. I only educate color. I don't teach cutting. And it's the same thing. People want to sign up for these other people that are doing these, the airbrush where you use the blow dryer to take your section, all these trendy things. Yeah. I'm sitting there scratching my head saying, but you don't know how to formulate. So when you get it in the foil, you're going to bleach it to the high heavens, but then you're not going to know how to glaze it because you don't really understand formulation. So everything is bleach it out so it's cracking off the head and then say Hail Mary and use a recipe that you saw on TikTok for the glaze or toner. And I'm just like, it's hard for people from our generation, not that we're 100 years old, but we've been around and we've learned everything. And to your point, it's all foundational things that will never be out of style, will never change. And once you have that structure, then you can play and get a little bit creative, but the foundation never changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, like you said, we talk about our generations, the industry has changed almost 180 in the last, I will say maybe 8 to 10 years. That's when it really changed a lot. Nowadays, people aren't looking to train with the best. They're looking to train with the most popular. Yep. That doesn't mean anything, and this is why I try to stress to people. It's, you got to look for the one that's going to teach you something, not the one's going to take a picture with you at the end of the class, right? Because that picture ain't going to teach you anything, and because of people at this point, I think a lot of education, and it just happens with people that want to go just hang out with somebody they admire. How people pay $1,000 for one day to sit and watch a class, it's beyond me. It's popularity. People are paying to be with what they consider a celebrity. What they're really, they're not getting $1,000 worth of knowledge in those couple hours of sitting and watching somebody cut something or do something really quick, But I think like you kind of nailed it when you just kind of said like the imposter syndrome. I've had some people that look, a lot of times when people come and train do our education, they've had some experience in the industry. They come and do some real technical training. And most, I will say a lot of, I was more than any, usually check out and go, this is too hard, you know, or it's too much, or I don't have time to go relearn this. This is why they,
Relearn is the key word.
and they
Relearn.
just go
Never
look for
really
something.
learned. It's not really relearning, but to them, it's relearning.
They just got to rethink, restructure the thinking or their approach to things. But to a lot of people, it just becomes too hard. And people, that's why they go look for fast, easy something on Instagram, you know? And hence, that's what's given rise to those things, right? But I've had a few people, you know, especially for instance, here in La Jolla, where, you know, it is our version of Beverly Hills here in San Diego, right? This is where a lot of big salons, the reputations and stylists, their successful stylists are and whatnot, have come to me and say, look, I work in the salon in La Jolla. I charge $200 for haircuts. I have a big clientele, and I'm about to quit the business. And I would ask them, I was like, why? Like, I'm tired of faking it. I literally can tell you right now, I don't know how to cut hair. And I'm tired of just, I can put on the big show. I can do the, you know, and the, you know, this one who became a really good friend of mine, we'll call him Casper Cuts. He'd say, we'd be Casper. It's like they'd be having the big conversation. Yeah, girl. And just chipping into the ends, you know, and this big blowout. And I go, oh, I love it. Right. He said, but I know I'm not doing a haircut. I know I'm not doing a good job, you know, and I hate that a lot of my clients come in. And, you know, this is when Bob started to come back in. They're like, I just want to cut off.
He's like, oh crap, how do I do
Yeah,
that?
but what he would say, what a lot of stylists say is, you know, no, girl, long hair is you. Stay long, you need. He's like, because I'm scared to death to cut hair, and this one particular friend of mine, he said, look, I don't, I'm willing to go do something else with my life. I don't need to do hair, but I want to, this thing that I hear you guys talk about all the time about precision and tech, I want to give it a go. I want to see if there's really anything to it, and he started to train with me every month for 2 days. And after 8 months, I remember we were sitting after the class just having a quick bite, and he saw, it's incredible how it's changed just these 8 months. And I remember asking him, I was like, think about this, who cuts hair better than you in La Jolla right now? He's like, nobody. I'm like, exactly. Now it's been 8 months, but we're talking about, you know, 2 6-hour days a month. And I said, how many hours have we really trained together? And it really turned out to be less than, you know, 2 weeks of work. And I was like, think about it. 2 weeks of actual training has changed completely the way you do hair. And now you literally can say you're the best hair cutter in La Jolla. Technically, I can say that about you, you know? And he said, man, this is, I never knew that it was like this. I was like, that's the thing. Most people don't, you know, they didn't have never been exposed to the beauty of that side of hair cutting because they're so scared from school. You know, even now there's here in San Diego, there's a big cosmetology company called Bellis that we've partnered up with. And, you know, I jump around through campuses a couple of days a week working with some of the students are about to graduate, and we're starting to work on bringing in new curriculums for them with haircutting and all this.
Oh,
And
awesome.
even already, I hear some of the people are ready to graduate saying, yeah, I want to be a colorist. I want to be a colorist. I want to be a colorist, which is fine. You know, I think, you know, if you love color and that it's great. But I tell them, I always ask them, do you love color? Do you really love color? Or are you still afraid of haircutting? Every single one of them says, yeah, just haircutting, just haircutting. I was like, okay, learn to cut hair. Because if you can balance both, you're gonna have an incredible business. Remember, what I try to tell them is remember, people, it goes hand in hand. You cannot separate the two from each other. You know, it's a full package, I tell them. But think about this. You can do beautiful color on a bad haircut. And it's not going to really look that good. You could do a single process on a beautiful haircut and it looks stunning, right? It goes hand in hand. And everything, like we said, just like in any form of design, form is one thing, color accentuates the form. I was like, if you really want to get the most out of your career, get to know both. Don't be afraid of one and say, I like the other better. It's like, no, you just feel more comfortable with one, you know? And I really want to get that into them at this level of their career, you know, to so we can really start to put out a balanced artist out there now. You know what I mean? Now, if one decides to focus, like myself, you focus on color, I focus on haircut, it's because we decided that's what we wanted to do. We knew
Right. We
that's
didn't avoid the other things.
exactly. We weren't afraid of one or the other, you know. But I think at a young age, if we can really kind of get their mindset at a certain discipline, you don't have to kind of convince them later. You don't have to change their mind later. You know, that's just my strict philosophy on that. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, we are in a particular place in the industry right now where you remember, like, was it maybe I was 8 to 10 years ago, every city had the big salons. They had the three, four big salons. All the stylists want to work there. All the people in the cities knew that that's where the salons you go to, right? And now they don't exist.
They're all
Those
gone.
salons don't exist anymore. Those salons that had training systems and you had consistency in it within the work happening there because of social, excuse me, because of social media, it's because such an individual person business, you know? And everybody knew if I go work in these salons, I'm gonna have to assist for 2, 3 years, you know, to really get myself to that level. Nowadays, people just because of social media just want to get out of school and try to get as famous and popular as they can, you know, and they're trying to jump the stairs, if you will,
Jump
you know, from.
ahead. Well, I love that you said that you're teaching in the beauty school because I taught a class yesterday in a beauty school and I was shocked at what they didn't know. They were like almost finished. I asked the teacher ahead of time. I said, "Where are they in their journey? I don't want to overwhelm them." So she said they're pretty close to graduating. And I said one sentence that was to me the most basic thing. And I took a screenshot because we were on Zoom of everyone's face when I said it, and they're all like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, can I take a quick screenshot? Your mouths are all hanging open. Like you never heard that before. And it really infuriates me because you and I discussed how much life has changed and how much the industry has changed, but the education, the textbooks, the fundamentals that they're teaching has not changed. It has not up-leveled. It is not Vidal Sassoon. It is not, in my opinion, you know, the best way. And you said earlier that people come to you and they have that imposter syndrome and they want to learn what you're teaching, but they also are like, oh gosh, I have to relearn. And that's the frustration that I run into all the time. By the time someone finds me and connects with me as their color mentor, I have to it's like I have to pour acid in their brain and erase everything they ever knew about color because it's so different how I teach and what you're teaching is so different from what they learned that it's so hard to undo. You and I could teach someone that we walk outside at, you know, a Starbucks and grab them and say, "Hey, I want to spend 5 hours with you and I'm going to have you be able to do a haircut at the end of the 5 hours," because they're not predispositioned to believe in another philosophy or another method. That's
Right.
the hardest thing. So I really wish, you know, I wish I had it in me. I'm going to be 57 years old and I always say, if I was just starting out, I would have the chutzpah to open a kick-ass school that, like, the hell with state board, the hell with all the rules of what they want you to learn because you don't, you know, do a single thing when you get out onto the floor and just make it like a real life, you know, awesome from the get-go of the Vidal Sassoon training and cutting, the color that I teach and the methods that have worked for me for 40 years. And none of this recipe nonsense and following around people that have cool hats and cool tattoos. And I
Right.
mean, you have many cool tattoos, but you're not making that your selling point. You're
Right.
teaching fundamental education and,
Yeah.
you know, you happen to be cool and
Yeah.
hip,
And you know,
but
I'll tell you, well, thank you. But I'll tell you that's the thing, you know, beautiful technical haircutting nowadays. It's more of a niche, not a standard, you know, as you said. You know, I know that the future of my business and my company is academy work, education work in terms of an actual location. You know, like I said, for the last decade, I've lived out of a suitcase. My whole job was always traveling, doing, you know, and that's why I
That
think of
gets
that
old fast.
so fast, you know. And I look, I'll it's you've probably seen on social media that right now everyone's an educator. You know what I
Yes.
mean? It became the popular thing to do and be, and whatever the case may be. And it's a kind of really saturated that thing a little bit. And I just kind of start to think, you know, where's the next, you know, what's the next step for me and my business and my future? And for me, it's that to establish an academy here in California. The first thing that we did was we have an apprentice program. It's an alternative to beauty
I
school.
love that.
So it's a
Love
2-year
that.
program that we started now, so somebody can come and train with us and get their license in 2 years. So they're my program is focused on they're with me one day a week and 4 days in a salon, like literally working hands-on and learning. Their whole, you know, gives me 2 years to work on haircutting with them, and the 4 days in the salon they can learn color and everything else. So it's going to give them a really rounded education, but it is an alternative to cosmetology school that we offer here now. So that was the first step for us to kind of take the company into the next step of what we wanted to do. I also would like to eventually, like you said, get into the cosmetology side of things. Here in California, there's a new license, which is a 600-hour license, which is strictly for haircutting and styling. You know,
interesting. So, very interesting. Yeah. I haven't heard of that. I know there's been a lot of changes because of braiding and eyebrow microblading. Like, there's been so many different things where they are starting to segment, but thank God, finally, because I remember being in beauty school and I was like, please don't make me do somebody's toes. I don't want to touch somebody. Yeah. I don't ever do a pedicure. I never want to do a manicure and I'm never going to do a facial. And those were the things that we spent the most time on, not formulating hair color or actually doing a decent haircut. It was so backwards to me.
Exactly. You know, and I think here, you know, a license nowadays, it really just makes you hireable. It doesn't make you ready. You know, and, you know, I think that's what I want to do. You know, I like I was telling Bellis, look, my goal when coming in here and trying to bring in what I know I can bring in is when students go out, it's not a student that or a new stylist that comes out. What goes out of here is a reputation. Yeah. We can put out, you know, especially if I can come in and show them. I normally get just a couple of weeks to work with people that are about to graduate with them. But you know, I've implemented a little program with them that gets some, you know, learning at least five to six of the most fundamental things that they're going to be doing right now in the salon. And if they can go out there and because, again, in most salons, most people are just kind of unsure of how to cut hair. If they can come and go, I can do it. People are going to go, where did you learn that? That's the reputation we put out. When they come and train with me and they go, where did you learn that? Oh, I learned it at the Kingly Hair Group. I learned that. Everything to us that we put out as education is reputation. You know, it's that reputation that will carry through and hopefully in some degree starts to make people go, okay, what is this whole thing about? You know, that's what we want.
I love that. And I've seen, because to your point, being living out of a suitcase and traveling, I've been in salons where I've observed people doing color services. And this one time I'm watching a girl interact with her client. She pulls out the hair color swatch book from the manufacturer and she plops it on the client's lap and says, pick a shade. I was like, I literally could not breathe. So I'm just watching and taking it all in. And the client picked a copper red and she had gray and pigmented deeper level hair. And I'm thinking of what I would do in my head. And she goes, oh, okay, 6 kg, I'll be right back. And she goes in the back and she picks 6 kg off of the thing, squirts it in a bowl, slaps it on. And I'm sweating the whole entire time. The clock's ticking going, this woman is going to have the hottest freaking roots you've ever seen. They're going to need a fire extinguisher to put her out. So of course she did. And then I watched the stylist tell her, oh, this is normal. It always starts that way. It's going to fade. And then the story. And I'm like, wouldn't it be easier for her to just take a class with me or someone else to really understand what she just did wrong? Like it's crazy how many people live the imposter life for 40 years of their career. And they're the same people, Mike, that I meet now that are in tears telling me they'll never be able to retire. They're like, I don't know what to do. I've been doing hair 40 years. I have no money to retire. Well, yeah, you've been faking it for 40 freaking years. And you've had to charge the minimum because you know in your heart you're giving shit work. So you can't charge properly. And you've spent 40 years doing this. You could have studied with Mike 6 hours and Elaine for 6 hours and known what you were doing.
Yeah.
And I've had people just this week. This is an interesting phenomenon. I have a mini class right now. It's $47. I talked about it. I go live every week on a coffee chat. And I talked about it in my coffee chat. I said, you know, comment, simplify, and you get my $47 thing. So this woman gets it, and I can see the time that it was purchased. And 2 minutes later, she sent me an email in a panic, and she left me a voicemail in a panic saying, please refund my money. I didn't mean to buy it, right? So she didn't mean to buy it. She had to sit there and punch in how many digits are in a credit card, her name, her address, her credit card, but she didn't mean to buy it. And when I talked to her on the phone, she said, please just refund me, please. And I could tell by her voice that she was very seasoned, probably 40 plus years. And I said, can I ask what your reason is that you want the refund? And she said, Because I didn't even mean to buy it. I didn't mean to buy it, and I don't have time. And she was so hijacked and flustered by this little $47 class. And I was really sad. I said, of course I'll refund your money. And I did. And I hung up the phone and I thought, how many people didn't even get to the point of putting in the name, the address, and the digits because they've talked themselves off the ledge out of pure nothing else but fear. Absolute fear of what if I figure out that I really don't know what I've been doing all these years? Who cares? It's never too late to change.
Look, this is the thing that I've always said, that time, a lot of people think that I'll eventually get it. I'll eventually get it. The better, the
Yes.
more time goes by. Time doesn't teach somebody anything but bad habits. It's time
Yes.
with the right knowledge that will get you experienced, right? And that's that, you nailed it right there. A lot of people just don't want to self-reflect and go, what is it about it that I don't, you know? So many people will take a technical cutting class, and like I said, they'll go, ah, it's too hard.
Go
And
right
they,
back to what they've always done. Yeah.
you know, I've had two experiences, you know, in the middle of some of the big classes that I've taught. I've had literally during the theories, somebody walk out and go, this isn't for me. This isn't for me. You know, it's like, you know, and I had to ask him, I'm like, you walk into a delicious restaurant or the best restaurants and go, that's too good. That's too good. You know, what is it about you? And they're never going to give you the answer, right?
No.
They're just going to, it's just not for me. Or I've had people come and train with me for 4 weeks per se, right? They'll book a 4 week private session with me. And after 2 weeks, or not even 2 weeks, you know, maybe halfway into the second week, they'll come in the class and go, my, I just want to be honest with you. I just feel like I'm like, I don't want to put it on you, but I feel like you're making me worse. And then I feel like I'm worse now than when I first came in. And I literally, it's not that you're worse. What's happening is now you're getting a real assessment of where you really are. In your mind, you said, I've been doing hair this long and this and that. You were used to something. Now that you're having to hold a standard of technique, posture, hand positions, over direct control, like you're literally learning the beautiful mastery and control of this, that you're struggling with it. In your mind, you think, oh, they're making it worth. No, but you're getting now a real assessment. And I have to tell them, you need to realize that this is really where you are. And we're going to get you back to where you feel comfortable with time. But you have to, I was like, you can't think of it that way, right? Because what you're saying is that you were better off before you came to me, you know? And it's just, it's literally a reality check that they don't realize that's happening to them, you know? And again, most of the time, this is why so many people just, maybe just don't do education. They don't really want to see where they're at. They go, oh, I'm fine, you know, where I'm at right now. And you know, a lot of people are okay just being okay.
Okay.
I'm
And
just.
now that you said that, I always talk about how the client is okay with okay hair. I've noticed that as well. Like they if it's not a visible disaster, if their gray is covered and their bangs aren't too short and their hair's not too short or they don't feel too layered or they can't style it, they think it's amazing. And there's a lot of bad hair. I think you'll agree, Mike, out on the street, everywhere you go, you're like, "Wow. Where are the good hairdressers? Why is the hair so bad?" I live in Florida now. I've never seen so much bad hair. Like, did
Absolutely.
everybody move here and get on their license? I don't give a shit about my hair. Like, is that like a thing when you move to Florida?
You know, that's one thing people don't realize, that I cannot tell you how many haircuts I have fixed from these famous people that you see on Instagram. You know, I went to this person, I went to that person. People don't see that side of it. They don't see all the fixing that we're doing. They just see the beautiful picture on Instagram, you know. But again, it's one of those things where clients are the ones at the end of the day that get the bad end of the stick. You know, there are some people, like you said, that are okay with okay hair, just like there's some people that are okay going to McDonald's and fast food every day too. You know what I mean? It's that's the way I look at it. You gotta, you know, it, do, we have to decide, and this is what I always say. It's like going to culinary school. When we go to cosmetology school, one day you decide, do you want to be a chef or do you want to be a cook? Right?
Line cook, yeah.
That's right.
What is
You're
your haircut right now, Mike, in the salon?
like the popular head look that we're doing right
No, the
now.
price. What do you charge for a cut
Oh,
now?
120, myself 125 for a
Okay.
haircut. Yeah, which look, for I people always ask me, you know, or tell me you should charge more. I'm like, no, I'm not. Look, I know I probably could, I just don't want to. There's people in La Jolla that charge more than I am, that, you know,
That you've
it's
taught, probably.
You know, but I just, and I'll tell you, for number one, I don't do a lot of clients myself. I have this since 2000. I haven't been much of an active size. I do clients just kind of here and there, wherever people, just referrals or whatever. So I don't keep like a big clientele. But it, to me, I charged 125, keep it real, because number one, I want it for the area that I'm at. It's very attainable for people there, but I also want people that are frustrated with a haircut from somewhere else to be able to Google or whatever and go, okay, all right, it's a little expensive, but
not outrageous.
It's enough to go try it, you know. Kind of where I want to keep me. So my thing is for these people that haven't really had haven't had the experience to kind of come and get a good haircut. I don't say good haircut, but my type of haircut that I give them, to be able to go, okay, now I see why it's 125. You know what I mean? But again, I just want to be middle of the road when it comes to prices and attainable for everybody. But and that's the same thing I do with education. You know, our education is very affordable. You know, when we have a whole calendar of classes up on our website right now for the whole year, that people can come and take with us. You know, I only charge $295 for a 1 day class, and I offer a 3 day classes for $595.
Wow,
you know?
And, that's amazing.
And more than anything, we just max out our classes at 5 people. You know, I'm overdoing the big 15, 20 people.
I agree.
You can't watch hand positions, body positions. It's just a lot of cheerleading and patting on the back, you know, when you're doing those classes. And to me, I truly want to get in there so I can handle 5 people looking at all the little nuances. And I decided starting this year, my classes are not going to get bigger than 5 people. We're going to keep them affordable because I want everybody to be able to come and take the classes. Even if they go, maybe I don't know if I need it, but it's affordable enough. Let me try it just to be exposed to that.
I love that. Well, everyone listening is going to want to know where they find you and where they find these classes. Where can they find your
schedule? They can go to our website, www.thekingly.com. Our Instagram is @thekingly_hairgroup. We have a link there on our bio that links you to the website and all our upcoming classes as well. You know, in my location, in my salon here in La Jolla, is primarily an education center. So we have a whole calendar of classes that we have set up for the whole year that people can go in and take. That we all offer payment plans as well. You know, if somebody wants to come in the end of summer and, you know, they want to come in for like the 3 day class, you know, if it's 5 months away, we can break up the payments into 5 months, and that way it's paid off by the time. It makes it easier for people not to have to like just do a big hit at the end, even though it's still not very expensive. And again, I do, like I said, the primary bulk of my work has been in salon. So the travels do in salon seminars as well. Everything that we do when we come in is tailored work everywhere. You know, I've been everywhere all over the US and everywhere from Russia to Brazil and Europe, you name it. That's been my work. So my goal is just to get in front of as many people as possible to expose them to our brand of education, you know, that I know they'll find absolutely incredible.
I love that. And I love this time with you. It was so great chatting with you. I love your passion and your mission. And I hope that people listening will come and take a class and learn how to, you know, get rid of that imposter syndrome. So thank you for your time. Thank you everybody for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you for listening to the Ask the Color Expert podcast. Please subscribe and be sure to leave a review. For more information on hair color education, please visit my website, www.expertcolorsolutions.com. See you soon.